my life.
Yeah, but in my life, I...
Corrupt. You mentioned the word corrupt. What was corrupt?
Well, I found out when we were at Charing, or at that place, I used to go on duty for 12 and 13 hours, but when I was back, meal times were on the days off, I found we didn't have any condiments, we didn't have any salads, we didn't have this. But I was representative for the lads on their messing committee, you see, and they chose me because I always was the barrack room lawyer, if anyone, yeah. And so you understand that you're our spokesman, and I used to go to all these messing committee meetings, and we had a colonel, Lieutenant Colonel Sinclair Barrett. And I knew, because one of my pals, this Taffy Brace, he had come back. He was in the stores with two Pudneys, one was an RSM and one a QMS. But I knew through everything that was going on that our PRI fund, which was so much per day per man, was for our salads, condiments and all that kind of thing. But they were going to the officers' mess in this Kenfield Hall, and also to a house which this colonel had in a bungalow just outside Kenfield Hall. Part of this what was a private estate. And truly, I made inquiries. Anyway, I found out what was going on. I remember at this messing committee, this Colonel St. Clair, I pointed out, I want an inquiry made, I said, because he was obviously there, always the Colonel had to be there, and I questioned what was happening to the proceeds from our PRI fund, because it wasn't being utilised for the benefit of the troops. For the other ranks, the officers and NCOs had a different thing. I said, there's somewhere this is going astray, and I want to know. The men are complaining, there is none of this, there's none of that. And do you know what this officer said? It's wartime, he said, Miss Lieutenant Sinclair Barrett, and he spoke a bit of Irish. Still, he was an Irish doctor. When I say Irish, Northern Ireland, I should say. But anyway, he said, I can remember his words were, give them potatoes, plenty of potatoes, that'll fill them up. I stood up, I said, we weren't all born in the Irish bog, so I don't want to hear any more of that. I want a bloody reply. And he put me on a charge, you see. I said, you do what you like, I'll take a court-martial if you like. So I wanted him to put me on a charge, you see. I said, I asked a question, you haven't answered it, I'll accept, I'll go on a charge. I'm on duty after 9 o'clock, so you'll have to make it early tomorrow morning, you see. So, all right, I go on the charge. He's got a woman sitting there behind me, you see. So I let him read, are you spending 7360440? Well, he didn't read it out, the clerk read it, you see. And there's two NCOs, one each side of me. No, they didn't. They should have taken private, but they were breaking the law, military law, so I let him carry on with this. So I said, no, then I want the minutes of this written down. And of course, this clerk has to write down what I'm saying. I said, the first question I would pose to you, what is this woman doing? But I knew it wasn't his wife. I knew she was a slut. I mean, you could see it. I don't blame her. She was getting free grab and all the rest of the treatment, I suppose, from this twat, Sinclair Barrett. Anyway, he dismissed the case like that. There's fun all he could do, could he? I said, I opt for a court-martial. Anyway, I went back, you know, to the lads. I got a pal, Sergeant Winstanley. He was a great guy. He was organist in York Military Hospital, it transpired. There, I didn't go to York. I hadn't been to York then. But anyway, he's a great guy, straight as a gun barrel. And I said to him, I want to go and see the Brigadier. But I had to have a senior sergeant to do it, and he was a senior sergeant. So he went, made the appointment, then I had to go and give evidence. And of course, I got these others to give evidence. The whole unit was disbanded, and it was turned into the 133, instead of the 133 Field Ambulance, which went abroad in the 40, we reformed, you know, through Yorkshire and various places and got back to Kent, where I told you I was doing medics. I did medics in Hull and Goole, then came back to Kent to do psychiatric unit, but with my company, parent company, 133 Third Ambulance. But that was disbanded and turned into 133 Airborne Field Ambulance. And only a selected few. Sinclair Barrett was shipped out to Singapore, Pudneys went somewhere else, and quartermaster officer, we had, I can't remember his name, went somewhere. The whole unit was split up. Ron Brown, who was in with me, you know, giving evidence, he went to the pay corps. Taffy Brace, Yarn Evans, and Bill Thorpe, I think, went to the parachute thing. But the whole thing was split up, the whole unit. How's that?
What were they doing? Embezzling the...
Well, our PRI stores. Fund for the officers only, and some of the NCOs, senior NCOs. Well, but I, as far as I'm concerned, that's bloody corrupt, and that's naughty, because they had plenty of money, didn't they? Officers, they had good salaries. We didn't. I mean, I was all right because I was paid by the refinery. But most of them didn't. I mean, there were only a few bob a day. I mean, and your food was part of your living. And if you, we were in the land of plenty there in Kent, there were tomatoes, veg, I mean, it is the Garden of England, really. But we weren't having any of those things, you know, which was shocking, wasn't it? But when this fucker said to me that, you know, give them plenty of potatoes, I thought, I'll get you fucking potatoes. I might look a simple country boy.
Can I just pick you up on something? You said you were being paid by the refinery, did they? When you
They put all the people who went from the refinery during the war who were, you know, you were... I don't mean those who were... I was... What do you call it? Like everybody else, you were a call-up. It was a national call-up, wasn't it, in 39? Although initially I was a militiaman, they had a call-up called militiamen, people of 20. I was 20 then. And I was 21 the first winter in the army. But truly, when you were all those who went from the refinery people made up their wages, their military pay, up to what would have been their statutory flat wage there, which wasn't bad, was it? Well, I didn't. I sent it home to my mother, you know. And she, if I came home on leave or I needed it, she would send me a couple of quid, but I didn't need it particularly. I should have. I smoked, you know, which was silly, but I gave it up. I did start a couple of times in my life, but I haven't smoked for 20-odd years, and I wouldn't not like anything. No. But I was a fool. But, you know, when you do things, you're bored. And when you're young, it doesn't hurt you so much. But everybody smoked on the ship.
In the war, everybody was smoking. Yeah.
Well, it was, in a way, it was part of almost a sedative, but in real effect, it wasn't, because it gave you other problems. So that's why, without it, you're far healthier. Anyway, whoever you are. I've got people, I've been to 3 funerals this winter. 2 of them ladies, 1 a man, who just threw a cigarette, wouldn't give up. You know, when you're older, it's worse. But I've dealt with it in young people as well. As a medic, I've dealt with very young people, sadly. And when I say very young, you know, 30s, yeah. And it's not all people are affected by it at that age, but some people are. You know, and if I've got a nephew, and if I already get cancer on the lung, he chain smokes. It's my twin brother's boy, was born after his dad was killed, rather tragically. But he smokes and drinks like a bloody fish. He was on drugs a few years ago. He had to go to the hospital to be weaned off him. But I know the other day, the bugger's been back on something, either ecstasy or amphetamines or something. He was set where you are, and I had an old pal here, and he was saying the most stupid things. It wasn't just alcohol. I know what he's like with alcohol. But he couldn't even speak properly, and I said to him, "You have been," you see. Anyway, this pal, old pal of mine, was going to take him up the road on his way home. He was only here for a visit. And when I think about it, if I hear, he's in the North Sea, that's a month on, a month off in the North Sea. When he's at sea, is he on these...
On the rigs?
No, he's not on a rig, he's on the boats that go up and down 40 feet at a time. You know, the support vessels, they're like giant trawlers, and they carry all the gear, and they've got safety boats, which he operates, the safety boats on board. He's good in about... Well, of course, they're not allowed to drink on there, but when he gets home here,